Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is ESPN Upstate. It is Wednesday, and it is Straight Up with Sturge. Willie P here with you. Hope you're enjoying yourself on a Wednesday. Telephone number, couple hours to play, 844-GSP-ESPN. 71307 is the text line. Start your message with ESPN, and you can be a part of the program. And I want listener interaction with our next question. This is something that I saw, and I had to laugh. Probably more than the last story that we did, because I found it absurd that someone actually was encouraging this person to take part in the activity that they were saying that they wanted this person to be in. Former Major League Baseball player Roger Clemens apparently was encouraged by people inside the Republican political party to run for the seat in the House of Texas Republican Pete Olson, who announced his retirement last month. Well, the 57-year-old Clemens said he has no interest in running for office because of the current political climate is more than what he'd want to undertake, along with his considerations for his family. That was according to ABC News. I'm not going to get into all the stuff involving his politics, because I'm not. This is not the part of the discussion that I want to be a part of. As somebody who grew up despising Roger Clemens for personal reasons that had to do with the fact that he threw at the head of one of my favorite baseball players as a child, a lot of the fanhood that I have now, I've divorced myself from. But as a child, I grew up hating. I don't hate people. I hate Roger Clemens. I despise Roger Clemens. I think he is one of the most unelectable, if not the most unelectable, sports figure when it comes to being in public office. He's very popular in Texas. He's very popular, especially because of the fact that he pitched at UT, had his time with the Houston Astros. He's still a special advisor in the Astros organization, still throws BP. His son was drafted by the Astros. I got to call a game in which his son was involved, and I got to be in the ballpark with him. I was in the elevator with Roger Clemens, and it took every bit of self-control for me not to swing around and punch him in the head. That's how much I dislike this person. I think he's the most unelectable sports figure in our lexicon. But you might feel differently. Who in your mind, political affiliation aside, this is not a political discussion, so if you come to me with Curt Schilling and you're somebody on the left, I'm not going there. I'm not doing it. Just because you might think that he supports something that you don't like. I'm talking just from a personality standpoint. Who is the most unelectable sports figure based on their personality? 844-GSP-ESPN, 71307 on the text line. Who do you got?
Well, W. Lee at Pickle in a Donut on Twitter says John Rocker.
Ooh. Okay. You know, John Rocker is somebody who I don't necessarily have a lot of love for either. He was very much in the public eye for all the wrong reasons at Sports Illustrated because of the comments that he made that were not only racist but also homophobic and generally negative toward a lot of people. He paid his penance for that very much so. Somebody, friend C. Philly says O.J. Simpson. That was one of the names that came to mind early. Yeah.
How about?
Although, if this was in a certain place, I think O.J. Simpson would garner a lot of support. Quite honestly. I mean, think about that. That is the most controversial socio-political issue in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not say?
Yes.
Would you not say that's the most socio-political controversy? So
that's easily one of my first three big memories in life was watching the OJ trial.
I was living in Singapore at the time, and we watched it live on CNN.
That was what, 93? 94
was the...
94, I would have been 10.
94 was the chase.
Sure.
And then the trial lasted the whole year after that.
10 or 11. It was that Desert Storm and, you know, watching Desert Storm on CNN and...
And 9-11.
9-11. But I was in high school in 9-11.
As was I. Who was the most unelectable sports figure crossover?
Crossover?
Well, I'm saying the crossover into politics.
Oh, how about Jose Canseco? He's pretty hated. I mean, he ratted out a lot of guys.
I don't know, man. A lot of people in Oakland still like him. There's a lot of NASCAR drivers that come to mind, like NASCAR heels. I know the Bush brothers get a lot of hate. There's always people who don't like them. Tony Stewart is a guy who wasn't very popular in the NASCAR world that I think if he ran for office would have a lot of negativity. Here's one. Oof. Chris Stiles tweets us at ESPN Upstate, at Willie P. Style. It'd be really tough now, but even before his death, I'd say Aaron Hernandez, pretty unelectable. Would you say that's in there? Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah, I would hope so.
844-GSP-ESPN, Willie P. and Diesel. Let's go to Will, who is on our ESPN Upstate hotline at 844-GSP-ESPN. And, Will, thank you for calling.
Okay, how about football, basketball, and baseball? And Ndamukong Suh and Dennis Rodman and Pete Rose.
Okay, here's the thing about Dennis Rodman. I grew up loving Dennis Rodman as a kid. He was my, again, for nothing that he did on the floor, but he was my basketball idol when it came to the way that he played the game. I loved Dennis Rodman.
But he's crazy and he's not elected.
He's
although maybe as a Democrat, he could make it.
I don't know. I mean, you never know. And then Ndamukong Suh. So I saw Ndamukong Suh break Blaine Gabbert's leg live and in person with Missouri-Nebraska. So I have no love for Ndamukong Suh. Who was your baseball player, Pete Rose? See, again, Pete Rose will get people. Pete Rose still has a lot of people in his corner, man.
A lot of people support Pete.
But do you think they would elect him to an office? It's very crooked.
That's true.
Got a point.
That is very, very true. That is very, very true. Popularity does not necessarily equal
electability. How about Michael Vick?
Again, a lot of people. So I'll give you this. So
he did a lot to rehab his image when he got back into the NFL.
I will tell.
Had he not done that, and the lasting image that we have of Michael Vick is going to jail for dogfighting.
I've told you that, you know, when I've done a lot of radio in Atlanta over the last couple of months. Michael Vick is still very much revered there. Very much so revered there. I would come to think that if you had a poll of Atlanta sports fans who would say they would want Matt Ryan as their quarterback or in his prime Michael Vick, they would all say they want in his prime Michael Vick. Because that is how much he is revered by folks at in that market. At 844-GSP-ESPN, who is the most unelectable, based on personality, not political affiliation, based on personality, most unelectable sports figure? This is off of the story that Roger Clemens has said that he basically is stepping aside from running for political office after being urged to by folks inside the Texas Republican Party. Rua tweets us Ray Rice. Again, I think it's another guy who people believe, again, that's somebody who, despite his misgivings, still has garnered a lot of support after the fact. Trevor puts John Rocker, that's one. Brent, Bill Laimbeer. See, again, Bill Laimbeer is somebody who rehabbed his image to the point where he became a very successful WNBA coach. People love Bill Laimbeer. Jerk. But they love Bill Laimbeer.
They just hate him because he was tough.
Right.
I don't hate somebody because they're tough.
How would Michael Jordan look in office? Better than being an owner. Too soon? Too soon? I don't even know how he would lean.
They're gonna turn it around this year.
Is that it? Is that
no,
it?
No, they're really not.
There was a poll that somebody read. Who will have more wins this season? The Carolina Panthers or the Charlotte Hornets? It's a tough one. Tons of John Rockers in politics, says Sangreal 314. That's very, very true. Again, I'm not. Oh, here's a good one. Fins fan JP tweets us at ESPN Upstate. Tanya Harding. Ooh. That you want to talk about the thing that blew up more in our lives that I think nobody saw coming was Tanya Harding versus Nancy Kerrigan. Like that was. Do you know that still the most watched sporting event, based on millions of viewers, the 1994 short program in Lillehammer, just in millions of viewers, because that was such appointment television when it came to that particular scandal. Again, you and I were probably way too young to understand the significance of it. But
I remember the event, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, somebody from Ukraine had to be the great savior. Oksana Bayul. She came and stole the show. No.
She's breathtaking.
No. No love for the Ukrainians here. You realize I'm half Ukrainian. That's the reason why I'm
very... Were we mad at the Ukrainians at the time?
We? As a country? No, yeah. No. Because they'd split.
Okay, they were good.
They'd split by then. They'd split from
right,
this.
Well, yeah, we're good.
They'd split. The Soviet Union had fallen by then. 91 was the fall of the Soviet Union. Jay Lunds, 864, says Kurt Schilling again. That's more, I think, based off of his current political leanings. Here we go. Darth Chosen says Pete Rose running for office would be a gamble. That's good. That's very good. Texter at 71307 from the 864 says Joe Paterno. Well, he can't really run for office now. He's 6 feet under. Art Briles. So that is one where I don't know if it's possible. Again, Roger Clemens is somebody who I despise from a just standpoint of what happened on the field. From an absolutely moral standpoint, Art Briles deserves to be in a prison cell. Art Briles deserves to be in a jail cell for a long time. I have no problem saying that. The fact that that man was not only paid an enormous sum of money in a settlement from Baylor University, but now is also coaching in suburban Dallas, a small little high school in East Texas. The fact that he is allowed to be a leader of men after what he oversaw at Baylor University is one of the most despicable injustices in the sports world. So I absolutely agree with the texter who says Art Briles is the most unelectable person with regards to a sports figure running for public office. Christian Leitner on the 864?
I'm okay with that.
This guy says Clay Thompson.
Wow, really? Must be
he says,
a Cavs
he
fan.
Says no misgivings with Clay Thompson. He just comes across as a complete jerk. I don't know if I get that from Clay.
Personality alone, it would be really hard. I'm not saying he's unelectable. It'd be really hard to elect Kevin Durant.
Ooh.
He's beloved by a lot of people, but based strictly on his personality.
Well, that and he's walked out on a couple of situations, too. So, what about LeBron?
Oh, no. LeBron's good. LeBron, he's good to go.
All right, how about...
Here's a guy who's... How long has he been in the league? He's been in the league 15 years. He gives a lot of money to philanthropic causes.
How about post-decision LeBron? Because he was a pariah for a very long time.
He's still fine. I mean, look, a lot of people, they don't have to like the decision that he made because...
Oh, I hated it.
Because a lot of us, we can't fathom making a decision on that level.
I hated it, and I hated the everything surrounding it. Nick tweets us at ESPN Upstate, 844-GSP-ESPN. He says the most unelectable sports figure in his mind, based solely on personality and not political affiliation, is OBJ. Again, I think OBJ is literally one of the most popular worldwide athletes currently. Like, people are wearing OBJ jerseys overseas because he is an international superstar.
Do they think they have a clue who he is?
Oh, yeah.
These just extra leftover jerseys.
Oh, no, no. He's literally, he is, you know when they say Pitbull is Mr. Worldwide? No. OBJ is Mr. Worldwide. Another one from JP says Richie Incognito. Yeah, that's a guy who probably has a hard time garnering any support.
What about Antonio Brown right now?
Oof. Would he show up? That's the problem. That's my biggest question. He would say something, oh, the podium's not big enough. Something involving, you know what, I really don't like the podium. The podium that I'm speaking at or the prompter. I can't see the prompter.
Can't see off of it.
Can't see off the prompter. So I didn't think that was going to be, I didn't know if that was going to be any fun at all, but it actually was very fun. So I found that fun. 844-GSP-ESPN. We'll take some more of your thoughts on that as we go throughout the program. What do I have? We'll turn in our hymnals next to this. This is another story involving the National Football League. Jerry Jones said something that some are calling offensive, and I'm kind of calling it, you know what? He's the boss, and he can say it. I'll explain why next on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We were asking you which sports figure is the most unelectable. One person said Antonio Brown, and somebody else says that Antonio Brown would probably get cold feet.
No!
That's very nice. Ba-doots. Very good. It is ESPN Upstate. Last hour we had Taj Boyd on the program. We'll let you hear some of that if you missed it. If you missed the entire interview and want to hear the whole thing, it is now on our website at ESPNUpstate.com and on the Radio.com app. So, I've talked a little about the issues involving the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper and all this other stuff, and it's almost as if people don't understand the way the National Football League works. Just because you have a good couple of years either in the draft or free agency, the system is rigged to help out the teams who can do more with less. And if you try to hoard good players and eschew the free market and the open market, you either have to have one of two things: a very small window or players who are willing to take more or willing to take less to do more, I should say. Well, Jerry Jones is finding out the hard way it's very, very difficult to deal with number two when you have unagreeable players not wanting to take less to do more. But that's his prerogative as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. See, when you own a company and you are in a situation like Jerry Jones is, where the free labor... Well, the free labor, but the labor is capped at a certain point. He has a fixed spending, basically a fixed spending amount every year, aside from what is involved with signing bonuses and the like. But again, that is all looked at very much as chump change for Jerry Jones. But he knows proportionately he can't field the team that competes in the National Football League if he ties two or three sizable contracts up in a disproportionate level of his salary cap. Now, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper and whoever the heck else wants to complain and hold out and things of that nature, that's fine, but you do it at your own peril. Because the worst thing that could happen for a guy like Ezekiel Elliott is for an organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers to let Le'Veon Bell sit out an entire season. They finally said, you know what? We are not letting you hold our franchise hostage. And guess what they did? James Conner, who was about as great a redemption story as anybody, a guy who's a cancer survivor, came out, balled out for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and guess what? He's their starting running back now. And when Jerry Jones was asked about Ezekiel Elliott in a recent media scrum, he said, Zeke who? Because, of course, the embattled running back has not been on the field for camp in Oxnard, California. And when people thought that he was being a tad too flippant, Jerry Jones says, do you see that name that's at the top of the staff directory at DallasCowboys.com? He says, that is why I'm allowed to talk this way.
Zeke's agents expressed unhappiness with the Ezekiel joke. Have you talked to them at all since then?
Look, I've earned the right with Zeke to joke. Period. I've earned that.
So have you guys had any conversations since then at all?
No. But let me be real clear about it. I've earned that right to joke.
Ooh. And people have a problem with him saying this. I don't. He's the owner. He's the head honcho. He is the HMIC. Head man in charge.
HMFIC.
Well, I don't want to put a pejorative across the air.
Oh.
It's the way that I'm giving you at least the parentally friendly way of putting that.
Thanks, Mom.
But he is the guy in charge. He balances the books. He knows what it costs and what it takes to be in the National Football League, and he knows the way that this particular sport works. He knows there'll be other people who can do the job for less and want to do the job for less, because he knows that's the way you win in the National Football League. And the way it works is that you have a rookie contract. It pays you at basically a bargain level for the first 4 or 5 years. And if you outperform that, then that's the negotiating power that you get later on in your career. And it's perfectly fine if Ezekiel Elliott feels somewhat hamstrung by the rookie wage scale. But here's the reason why we have this. Because Sam Bradford went out as a rookie and made $50 million of guaranteed money before he even threw a pass. And what did he prove to be in the National Football League? Nothing more than a piece of glass. He spent more time on his ass and on the shelf than he did on the field. So, Ezekiel Elliott has Sam Bradford to thank. Now, quite honestly, I find it a tad sorrowful that Zeke and Dak and those associated with the Dallas Cowboys feel a certain lack of respect with regards to this issue. It's not like I'm going to walk into David Fields' office tomorrow and demand $1 million, though. That's not the way this works. The way this works is you have a contract. You play for said contract. And if you don't want to play for said contract, there's the door. And I don't blame Jerry Jones one bit for saying there's the door. It could come back that he has a deal. It could come back and he says, you know what? We want to make things happen this way. But guess what? Ezekiel Elliott has no leverage. He has no actual leverage. Because he is just a guy who is letting his value depreciate by sitting on the bench. You have absolutely no value by holding out. Absolutely no value. Because I guarantee you, Jerry Jones is fully and willingly prepared to making that happen if he wants to sit for the entire season. He is no less... He has no less hubris than the Pittsburgh Steelers have with Le'Veon Bell. Just he is. Because he gives you no value being on the bench. 844-GSP-ESPN. Let's go to Connor, who is on the line. Connor, you're on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. I don't understand the... I understand the point of the holdout. You know, they want to make more money, but... If they sit out a whole season, they miss all those game checks, they get fined however much they get fined. I mean, is there a certain point where it's just almost pointless for them to hold out and just play hard, keep playing well, and then make your money? And is there any way the NFL can, you know, do something more to deter these ridiculous holdouts? I mean, the owners don't seem to care. They're not going to, like, just, oh, I want $40 million. Okay, here's $40 million. So is there something that the NFL can do to try to deter it more for the player?
I think... The biggest problem is that the running back position as a whole has become an interchangeable parts scenario. It's not an Ezekiel problem. It's a problem with regards to the position as a whole. And, you know, he's going to cost, in cap space this upcoming year, $7.9 million. You could sign two running backs for $7.9 million very easily. In the National Football League during an offseason. He'll cost them $9 million against the cap next year before he becomes a free agent, and many believe that when he becomes a free agent, he'll get a franchise tag. So, in reality, you have him for three more years locked up at what many would consider to be a sizable part of your cap, especially when you have to sign Dak Prescott, who's due next. So, in my mind... Go ahead, Connor.
If he's on your cap, like, you know, $7 million, whatever, what's his salary for the year? Because if they don't have to pay him his salary if he's not playing, that cap hit isn't really as big, right?
I mean, it still counts against the cap. That's money that just does. It just stays in the cap. It doesn't go in his pocket. Now, they could put him on the restricted list, which keeps them from having to pay him and keeps that. I think that the way that works, and I'd have to ask my buddy Joe Corey how this works, but if they put him on say, the restricted list, I don't know if that counts against their cap, but again, at the same point in time, that's not money that he'll receive at the end of the day.
Right. All right. I was just wondering. I just feel like there should be something the NFL can do to tell these players, like, look, you can't just be a...
Here's what the NFL is telling them to do, Connor, and I appreciate the phone call. The NFL is telling them to shut up and play. It's basically their attitude is to shut up and play. The Players Association hates this, and it's part of the reason why there's probably going to be a lockout next year. Because the Players Association has to be furious with this.
Well, my issue with a lot of salaries and just the demand is based on just the desire to be the highest paid at your position.
Of course. He wants the Todd Gurley money.
Right. Your value may not be the highest paid at your position in the league. Well, your value may be the fourth or fifth best highest paid player in the league. Yet they all want... They just don't want to put it on the resume. They want to hear the guys on SportsCenter say, this is the biggest deal for this player or this position
here's
in NFL history.
Here's the biggest problem when it comes to the way that the numbers look right now. So let's take Todd Gurley's, for example. And even I'll say it this way. The top three running back salaries in total value are Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and David Johnson. What do all three of those teams have in common? All three of those teams have a quarterback that is playing on a rookie deal and hasn't made his money yet. They have Sam Darnold working on a rookie deal in New York, Jared Goff running off a rookie deal in Los Angeles, and David Johnson's Cardinals are currently manned by Kyler Murray. Devontae Freeman is the fourth highest on that list, and that is because that they are getting Matt Ryan on the deal that he is on at a significant discount, given the fact that they need Devontae Freeman to make Matt Ryan look good. We saw why last year. LeSean McCoy is fifth on that list at $40.05 million because they're paying Josh Allen on a rookie deal right now. Saquon Barkley is sixth highest when it comes to value because they're paying Daniel Jones and Eli Manning on a rookie deal and an old man veteran deal. So all those deals, again, that we're talking about, 49ers have a deal with Jimmy Garoppolo that's very team-friendly. That's the biggest issue right there, is the fact that you can't pay both. You can't pay both a big-name quarterback and a big-name running back, and the Cowboys are going to have to choose. And this tells me that they're going to choose Dak. Unless they give Zeke the money first, in which case they let Dak walk. But they also know that Dak is nothing without Zeke. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. If you missed any part of our interview with Taj Boyd, we play you a couple of snippets from that, including what his first impressions were of Trevor Lawrence. I found that answer completely fascinating because it makes me think about the first time I saw Trevor Lawrence. And no, it has nothing to do with that MLB male enhancement story that we were talking about last hour on the program. It is ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Guy goes, have you lost your mind? Falcons need Devontae Freeman to make Matt Ryan look good. Matt Ryan is rated in the top five every damn year. Texter at 71307. Did you see the way the Falcons looked last year without Devontae Freeman? I mean, seriously. Let me put you this way. Devontae Freeman, them not using him in Super Bowl 51 was the reason the Falcons lost Super Bowl 51. Matt Ryan's fumble and the subsequent mismanagement by Kyle Shanahan down the stretch is the reason they lost Super Bowl 51, because all they needed to do was need Devontae Freeman to run the football. That team last year was abysmal. And yes, Matt Ryan put forth the kind of year statistically that only rivaled his MVP year of a couple of years ago. But pardon me if I don't sit here and tell you that those numbers came out very, very hollow when you juxtapose that with a 9-7 season. What are quarterback numbers without wins, D's?
Nothing.
The most important stat is a W at the end of the day. And they just didn't have enough W's. Yes, he had a fantastic season. He also spent most of the time in the NFL last year on his behind because his offensive line was a sieve. Quite honestly, looking at them in the preseason, it doesn't look like it's much better given what we've seen over the first three times we've seen the Falcons play. Speaking of which, we'll talk a little bit later about it. Carolina Panthers announced that they're going to play their starters into the second half, and that includes Cam Newton. So we will see some Cam Newton this week in New England when the Panthers take on the Patriots tomorrow night. You'll hear it on our sister station, Classic Rock 101.1. earlier in the show, and as we will every Wednesday at 4:21, we will talk to Taj Boyd, former Clemson quarterback. In the space that precedes this one, 5:21, we're going to talk to Stephen Garcia, former Gamecock. So very excited to have him as a part of the program as well. And both of those guys will be a weekly staple with us on Wednesdays, part of our quarterback room here on ESPN Upstate. In a way of introduction, I asked Taj a question that I get asked all the time when people ask me to talk about Clemson, whether it's on a national level or out of state, whenever I go on an interview to talk about the Tigers. The secret sauce inside the Tiger room is Dabo Swinney. I want to know how he felt that translated when he was in the quarterback room and he was part of Dabo Swinney's first ACC champion team in 2011.
One of the things that he expressed and explained to us when he first took over the job, he would start off every morning with a staff meeting. He would come and have the team meeting. And with the team meeting, he brought in a sign that said, "Believe." And, you know, his approach really was like, "Look, fellas, we want to be a consistent winner. You know, we might not win a national championship at this point, but as long as we can find a way to consistently win the games that we're supposed to win and continue to build off of that, then we'll have something pretty special here."
That is Taj Boyd speaking on ESPN Upstate earlier. And the other thing that he said that really struck with me and fascinated me was his first impressions of Trevor Lawrence. And again, I've told you the story about the moment I thought that he was going to be great. It came in a fall practice a year ago when going up against the one defense in a 7-on-7 drill, Lawrence looked off a safety and dropped a 40 to 50 yard bomb in the bucket against a guy who is now playing in the National Football League at cornerback and Trayvon Mullen into the hands of Justin Ross on a deep seam pattern over the middle. And I looked at two people, Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated and David Hood of TigerNet, and I said something that I couldn't say on the radio when I saw it. I said, "Holy, you know what?" And it was at that moment where I said, there's no reason he shouldn't be the starting quarterback of this football team by the time the season is over. I quite honestly, based off of that only thing, would have made him the starting quarterback week one. But again, I've made my peace with that whole thing. And again, Dabo Swinney proved to be the number one I told you so guy because he went 15-0 and he has the skins on the wall to prove it and the golden scepter in the lobby to prove it. But I asked Taj Boyd if he had a similar recollection of the first time he saw Trevor Lawrence, and he said, "Oh, yeah."
Well, obviously, naturally, he was one of the more gifted players that I've ever seen in general. I mean, very rarely do you find a guy who's of that stature, you know, 6'6", you know, lean, can rip it all over the field, but still yet be very poised. I mean, he has the ingredients to be, you know, the best college quarterback ever. But I didn't know that it was going to happen as quickly as it did for him and his adjustment to this game, because it is different and it is unique. And I think that the coaching staff did an unbelievable job of making sure that they eased him into the transition. But to be completely honest, a guy like that prepares for these moments his entire life. So he's special, man, altogether. And a lot of it, again, I've seen plenty of quarterbacks go out there and have tremendous arm talent. You know, Zach Mettenberger, Ryan Mallett, you can name them. But the guys who can piece it all together and still lead in a way where those guys respect and follow them and have that humility about them, those are rare to find. And I think that they have a catch in Trevor Lawrence, obviously, and even with the next kid coming in.
The next kid coming in, of course, being DJ U, patented, trademarked, copyrighted by yours truly. If you want to keep yourself from having to say DJ Uiagalelei, just say DJU, because I think Clemson U will be DJU in a couple of years' time.
If you haven't trademarked that, you should.
Literally. Well, I think the kids should get an opportunity to do it first.
Split it with them. Split it with them, 50-50. You came up with it.
I've talked with him before. I should have. I've talked to him in a previous entity.
Should be like, "I'll take 10% for 4 years. 50-50 for 4 years, your college career, and then it's all you."
How good would that look on a T-shirt, honestly? DJU equals CU, or CU equals DJU? And how awesome would it be? Huh? How awesome would it be if DJ could get a cut of that. Oh, well, wait, he probably couldn't because it was an NCAA violation, because NCAA prohibits a gentleman from making name off of his name and likeness, making money off his name and likeness like that. Huh? Am I wrong? See, this is what I love how this all comes. It all comes back to the same thing with me. Regardless, with Boyd's decision and Boyd's comments on Trevor, and I said it in the piece earlier, he has the combination of mechanics, physical ability, and unflappability that is unmatched in anybody I've seen play at the college level or the pro level. Like, Tom Brady probably doesn't have the best mechanics in the world, but he has intangibles that make up for it. Also probably hasn't had the best supporting cast in the world, but his intangibles make up for it. Aaron Rodgers has probably one of the strongest arms that you've ever seen. Hasn't always had the supporting cast, and quite honestly is a bit of a locker room, I wouldn't say a locker room cancer, but he's a locker room issue, if you will. The one thing I've come to find is that the people around the Clemson campus with regards to the football team, they love Trevor. Like, Christian Wilkins took him out to breakfast when he got the starting job the week of the Georgia Tech game. Or the week of the Syracuse game, I should say. And they love that kid. They love playing for that kid. That was the biggest question I had with regards to Kelly Bryant versus Trevor Lawrence a year ago, which was, how is the locker room going to react to this? Is there going to be a Kelly Bryant faction? And while there are people who went to see Kelly Bryant in his spring game against spring game at Missouri, the support for Lawrence was unequivocal. Because at the end of the day, they could see on the field that this guy could back up all the plaudits that preceded him with play on the field. And that's why I think he's the best quarterback that I've seen and will see, not only at the collegiate level, but at any level. And I think the sky continues to be the limit for QB16. It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. The non-sports story of the day that will make you smile and smirk. Once you know, it's funny how you can be lambasted and skewered for one thing and have a very lewd and vociferous double down. Well, that's what happened with this story that involves our next participant of the non-sports story that makes me smile and smirk. We head to Norwalk, Connecticut for this one, next on ESPN Upstate. Non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. Submitted for your approval, one 28-year-old woman, Anna Lee Halderman, Norwalk, Connecticut. At a beach in Westport, Connecticut, drunk and topless.
Score.
Someone called the cops on her. She was so upset that she confronted the person and then protested also by dropping her bottoms.
All right.
So she went completely nude in Norwalk, Connecticut. The cops spent a month tracking her down after chasing the person who called the cops on her and have finally arrested her.
How do you do a lineup for a nude woman?
Maybe she has a differentiating characteristic on her that could possibly,
ma'am, we're going to need you to drop them again.
We're going to need you to drop them. Maybe she had a tattoo or something. She ran off again before the cops got there, but apparently a full investigation surfaced a month later. They've identified her and charged her with a breach of peace and risk of injury to a minor. She said, get this. This is the shocking part of it. She has no memory of any of this.
You don't say. We looked her up.
Drunk and topless.
We looked her up on her mugshot. Not bad. Normally you'd expect somebody who does this to be like an Uggo waffle. is not good.
I've never heard that one before.
And she, you know, even in a mugshot, which nobody ever looks good in a mugshot, she's a solid six in a mugshot.
But is she a Norwalk six? That's the question.
She's a New York City four. She's a Norwalk seven.
She's a Norwalk seven. She's probably a New York. She's probably a New York four. I'd swipe right. Would you swipe right on her?
Yes. Good stuff.
Non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. It beat out a guy who stole a Walmart cart. That's the one that beat out. So there you go. Thank you for that. ESPN Upstate. We'll come back with some more sound from Brian McClendon, South Carolina offensive coordinator.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.